We are talking to Kristen S., who is live in Bethlehem now. It is Christmas Eve 2002.
Yes, I've just come to Bethlehem today because the Israeli military decided at the last minute to lift the curfew and to allow the Palestinian Christians and the Christian tourists to come into Bethlehem for the Christmas so that they could dissemble once again and look good in the eyes of the international community working towards this this propaganda campaign that they've been undertaking that's been highly successful. The one that somehow is allowing them to play themselves as the victim as they slaughter Palestinians here and keep them under siege, under a curfew, house arrest. So last night in Bethlehem, the Israeli military, even though they say that they are not here now, took seven people from their homes in the middle of the night and put them in Israeli prisons. The night before, they took the same number from their homes in the middle of the night and put them in Israeli prisons. So now that's added to the over 8,000 political prisoners that Israel is illegally holding. Now the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, are still here in Bethlehem. They're just trying to keep out of the media spotlight. All the media is in Manger Square and in front of the Church of Nativity. But the Israeli soldiers have occupied five buildings, taken over a radio station, and are using the high buildings as sniper posts to keep the pressure on the Palestinians here, but keeping out of the way of the tourists who are coming in. But of course, they only announced the lifting of this curfew at the last minute, day before yesterday. So there was no time to plan. So the industry that Bethlehem relies on most heavily during all of these closures and the constant attacks on the Palestinian economy, they rely heavily on the tourism industry in Bethlehem, particularly around the Christmas season. And so, of course, no one could plan to come here, and so the economy is suffering even more. The Palestinian Muslims were not allowed out of their houses during Eid at the end of Ramadan, which is a time when there's similar sorts of things go on, like the Christian Christmas, like gift-giving and visiting and feasting, and none of the Palestinian Muslims or Christians were allowed out of their houses at that point. But because the Christian community in the world being in the position that it's in, particularly with the United States leading the way, the Israelis broke to the pressure of that in order to just make themselves look good, frankly. Moving back to just quickly to let you know what's happening in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip. Last time I spoke with you, I think I was in Rafah, which is where I've been for a great deal of time. It's the very south of the Gaza Strip. Last night, the Israeli military demolished 30 houses. The 12 tanks went after one house with two bulldozers, and they started shooting into the house. The families ran out. It was the middle of the night. The Israeli military had cut the power in the town. No one could see anything, and they ran out of their houses terrified as the bombs hit. And the bulldozers and the tanks went into the houses and smashed them. Now there's 30 more houses that are gone. And what the Israeli military is doing at this point with these houses that they're demolishing is that they're burying them in the ground and covering them over with piles of dirt, much in the way when we see mass graves. When people are slaughtered, the bodies are thrown underground and covered over in order to pretend that the murders didn't take place. And this is a similar situation, to create new facts on the ground, to act as if there were no people living in these areas at all, as if Palestinians don't exist. So their houses, their buildings, all of their infrastructure smashed and buried under the ground. And so that in order for the Israeli government to design this movement to promote this myth that it's a land without a people, for a people without a land. There are people here. There are Palestinian people here who have been here for a long, long time. And slowly but surely, the Israeli military is killing them or starving them, driving them out, making them homeless, making life such absolute misery that they have no choice but to try to leave if they're allowed to leave, or to slowly die. I haven't ever seen anything like what I'm seeing in Russia right now.
And once again, we are speaking with Kristen S., who is, it is Christmas Eve 2002, and she is in the town of Bethlehem, where the Israeli, they pulled out, right, for the holiday. Is that what it is?
Yes, out of the center of the town, but they're still here. These the Israeli military is still patrolling the area. Their jeeps are still driving through the streets, and they still are inside of the buildings. What they're doing simply is keeping out of sight, keeping out of the public eye. There's a great deal of media here waiting to see what happens because it's Christmas in Bethlehem.
Right.
And so the media is concentrated in Manger Square and at the Church of the Nativity. Manger Square is right in front of the church. And so the Israeli military is not in this area. They've pulled their tanks to the outside of the town. They're just surrounding the town. All they've done is they've lifted the curfew, which means that people are allowed to walk around in their town right now and that tourists can come in through the checkpoint once they're searched. This curfew has only been lifted for 72 hours. It's going to be reimposed at 5 o'clock tomorrow as soon as the tourists have gone out. And so then it will be back to business as usual, which is house arrest for Palestinians. All the shops are closed, inability to go to school, to go to work, or to live any sort of lives. I mean, it's just simply that the Israelis bowing to international pressure and in order to make themselves not look like the criminals that they are.
Wow. And everything everywhere else in the Gaza Strip is pretty much business as usual. They haven't pulled back.
Yes, and all of the West Bank is under curfew still and under re-invasion. There are many people here who feel that the church should have kept its doors closed in order to shed light on the fact that the Israeli military has not left and that it is holding the Palestinians of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip as hostages, essentially. They're throughout the West Bank, the siege continues. They've just backed off of this one town just for 72 hours.
That's interesting. How are the folks around you right now? How's the family you're living with and all that?
Well, the family that I'm with right now is a family that I've known for a long, long time. And about 5 days ago, 50 soldiers, Israeli soldiers, came into the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone was asleep. They made everyone come outside, even the children. The children wrapped up in blankets because they were sleeping were searched. The Israeli soldiers patted down the blankets. They searched all of the people, terrified the people. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and they'd all been asleep. They'd stand outside in the cold. And the Israeli soldiers took one of the sons, a friend of mine, a university student, and the family now is spending this Christmas wondering how their son and their brother is, and wondering if he's ever going to make it home. So they're not doing that well, but this is the story for a lot of people here. There's a regular abductions of Palestinian people, and as I've said many times, and as people continually tell me here, and I think the Israelis, all Palestinians are wanted. So of course the Amjad, who was taken, was not on any wanted list, but should anything happen to him, should a soldier kill him, he will be added to the wanted list. That's what the Israeli government has done regularly. If they kill someone, they add them to the wanted list in order to cover up the crime. They did that in the Church of Nativity when they held it under siege in April. They killed a man who was hanging out his wash, and in order to cover up just the murder that they had just committed, they added him to a wanted list. He hadn't been on any list before. And most people do know if they end up on this list, and usually they don't have any idea why, but there's it doesn't seem to matter at this point. You know, everyone else in this family has been in prison before. Just now they've just taken another one. And that's the way it goes here. There are people also in another camp here in Bethlehem, in another refugee camp, who are a family who's the father and the husband of the family was in the Church of Nativity in April, and he's now been exiled to Gaza. And his wife had a baby right after he got exiled, so he's never seen his son, his new baby. And this is the first Christmas that he spent outside of Bethlehem, away from his family. He's now alone in Gaza with no idea of when he's going to be able to return to his family. And so his wife is now trying to raise the three children alone, not knowing when her husband will be able to come back from Gaza. And this happened to 26 Palestinians, of course, who are exiled to the Gaza Strip. Of course, Palestinians can't come and go from the Gaza Strip. They don't have freedom of movement, and these people that were exiled from the Church of Nativity into Gaza are not even allowed to leave Gaza City. So they don't even have access to all of the Gaza Strip. They're not allowed to move at all, just within one small area. If they're caught outside of that area, they'll be, they've been told they'll be killed, but they will be killed or arrested. Put in a prison.
Once again, we're talking...
the situation here for Christmas. It's not much of one.
Well, we're talking with Kristen S. here, Christmas Eve 2002. Unfortunately, Kristen, my phone line on my end, there's something going on with water on the wires or something, and we're starting to break up really bad. I've talked to a lot of folks here that hear the reports you do and hear the reports of other folks that are what's going on in the West Bank, and a lot of times people feel helpless. What can people do? I mean, what is there any ideas on, like, what can we do? Should we pressure Caterpillar, or some of these other U.S. firms that are doing things? I've heard of boycotts and that kind of thing. I mean, what do you think folks could do to try to combat this, especially with the U.S. spending, what, $12 million a day for the U.S. or for the Israeli military to do what they're doing?
Yes, and the Israeli defense minister has just been in Washington getting an okay for another $13 billion because they feel that they need more money to buy more weapons in order to kill more Palestinians. One thing that particularly the people of the United States can do is stop paying their taxes, because it's the tax dollars that go to fund this brutal occupation. And there's a campaign called Sustain, which is working with people in order to do this. Stop. I don't exactly recall what Sustain stands for, but I know it's to stop U.S. tax dollars from going to Israel, to the Israeli government, in order to do this stuff here. That's one thing people can do. Another thing is, I have a group with me now, and there are groups functioning all over the West Bank. I have a group with me now in Gaza, in the south of the Gaza Strip, in Rafah, with the International Solidarity Movement. And what we're trying to do is to stop some of the house demolitions and at least bring attention to what's happening. The Palestinian voices are usually ignored in the international community, and sometimes people listen to the people who carry European or American passports. So we're taking those passports and the ridiculous privilege that goes along with them and trying to let people know what's really happening. Last night, even though there were international people staying in the houses in Rafah, the Israeli soldiers went ahead and destroyed them anyway. So we try to stop the house demolitions, but of course the Israeli military does whatever it wants to anyway. But that's another thing people can do, is to try to get involved in this, and at least to bring international attention to what's happening. And so to get information about the International Solidarity Movement, people can look at www.palsolidarity.org.
Again, that is www.palsolidarity.org. And Kristen also does a radio program, which is uploaded MP3 to www.radio4all.net. That's radio4all.net. Well, Kristen, I want to thank you for talking with us. We're going to have to cut it short, unfortunately, because of this phone line. But I don't know. Happy Christmas, I guess. It's a sad thing what's going on over there.
Thank you. And it's our responsibility to stop the sad thing that's going on over here. It's a political travesty and an ethnic cleansing that's happening here, and we can make it stop. If everyone in the world stood up, this stuff wouldn't happen anymore.